world, we hear a lot about the topic of mentoring. What does it mean to be a mentor? Where do we get it? Is there a biblical basis for it? What does it mean to be a good mentee? Well, today on Life Talks, we start a 3-episode series on the topic of mentorship. My name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. And Ben, this is an important topic. It has discipleship implications. It has leadership implications. Right. And so this actually was something that you thought of. What was the impetus behind this?
Well, I think that we find ourselves increasingly in a culture by which everyone believes they're experts.
Oh yes,
and
because they read it on Facebook.
Yeah, and also there's such a need for genuine relationships. And I took some training one time on some certification for coaching, and they said every person in their life needs 5 voices. They need a consultant voice, they need a mentor voice, they need a counselor voice, they need a coaching voice, and they need a friend voice. Those 5 voices are very important for every person to have. And I was thinking about those voices, and you know, a lot of times people don't have any of those voices, yep, right? But that mentor voice is a voice that we all need, someone who's been further down the road or farther down the road than we are, and that can help us through life's journey, that can help assure us, give us wisdom, give us counsel, give us guidance. And so I think this is a biblical. Even though the Bible doesn't have the word mentor in it, mentor is kind of more of a newly formulated word in our vocabulary. But the Bible has the modeling of leadership, the modeling of life, teaching, discipleship, those kinds of things. And so, I just thought that this is a needed topic to discuss, because I think every single person needs some kind of a mentor or discipler in their life.
Yeah, this is a little bit of an emotional topic for me right now, because over 2021, I had basically 3 mentors in my life. Like you said, I've looked for those key voices. Mm-hmm. One of them was a mentor that was ahead of me professionally, mm-hmm, that I respected, that would challenge the way I thought and, mm-hmm, and acted in my role as a pastor. Another one was someone whose professional advice I appreciated. They were a mature believer, but who was a successful businessman.
Yes.
And then a friend, that friend voice that was in my life, who kind of had the right to be able to, you know, ask me the tough questions and, mm-hmm, get up in my grill and stuff. And then all 3 of them sadly passed away last year.
Hmm.
And so I kind of find myself, you know, to some extent missing those voices,
yeah,
in my life. And at the same time, at my age, which is none of anybody's business, but it's more than 40, I have a lot of people say, would you mentor me?
And so
forth. And I think part of being at my age is realizing more and more that the days are short, the time,
yes,
is short.
Yes.
And I want to make sure I'm spending my time effectively. And I want to spend my time on things that have eternal value.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, assuming eternal value has some kind of biblical basis, this first episode of this trio of episodes, we're going to kind of look at the biblical basis,
yeah,
for mentorship.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that, again, the Bible doesn't come out with a Bible verse that says, thou shalt mentor, you know, the one generation to the other. But there are some real important practical principles. I think, you know, number one, I would say, is you have just this basic idea of modeling, right? You have, I thought of 3 different illustrations of modeling leadership and mentorship in the Bible. You have Moses with Joshua, you have Elijah with Elisha, you have Jesus with the disciples, and you have Paul with Timothy. Those are kind of the main, the main illustrations for people that are mentoring other people, that are leading people and saying, hey, I'm passing down to you leadership. I'm passing down to you wisdom. And in some ways, you are going to, you know, succeed me in this role. And so each of those are really profound relationships that have a very powerful life story. But I think also you see it in Scripture with more or less family. You know, you have the Deuteronomy passages of, fathers, train up your children in the way they should go, and teach them along the roadside. There's kind of a mentorship there, and most of the mentorship would happen in a familial environment. But the reality is it's more than that as well. I mean, one of the most important passages of Scripture that I think is in 2 Timothy 2, and it says this in verses 1 and 2. It says, Paul's writing to Timothy, his his mentee. He says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So right there, you have this almost like passing down of what has been learned. You have four generations there. You have Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, and faithful men to others. And so that is, I think, the way in which God has always designed for people to learn and to grow, is that one generation takes ownership of the next to say, we need to pass this alongside of you. And there's another great biblical illustration of when this didn't happen, and that's in the book of Judges. And if you're familiar with the book of Judges, in the very beginning, it says that the generation that had seen all the mighty deeds of God passed away, and the next generation rose up. They did not know the things that the Lord had done.
Yeah. Another verse from Judges is, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes."
Yes.
So they were making the mistakes they didn't have to make.
Exactly.
Because they didn't learn from what other people had done.
But you think about that generation that failed, the generation that had seen God do amazing, mighty, supernatural things. But what they did not do is they did not pass along. They did not mentor the next generation. And here's the reality. Nobody is born into the kingdom of God naturally. Just because you attend church, just because you are born into a Christian family. No, people are brought into the kingdom of God by other people bringing them along. And so mentorship is vital to the very existence and the continuation of the Church of Jesus Christ. If we are not mentoring the next generation, the person downstream from us, it's just not going to happen. And so to me, I think the biblical teaching, the biblical modeling is there for us to understand, hey, this is something that is important to God. And if it's important to God, it should be important to me.
Yep. And we'll get into this in other episodes, but one of the things I want to emphasize at some point is that you need to make sure you have clear definitions of what everybody means when they go into a mentoring relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of ask you this question in light of that, and we'll unpack it more maybe in another episode. But what is the difference between mentorship and discipleship?
Mm.
Is there a difference? And how would you define both those terms?
Yeah. So what I would say is mentorship is a kind of discipleship. That's what I would say. Discipleship in its purest form is going to focus mostly on teaching people the word of God. It's going to be helping them become a greater follower of Jesus. But I think mentorship can be kind of a subpoint or a category within discipleship, by which someone might be doing that, and you might be passing along, teaching them how to read scripture, teaching them how to pray, teaching them, you know, those kinds of things. But it also might just be, I need wisdom for life. I need wisdom on, you know, how to be a better husband, how to, you know, what I've got this job situation. What do I do for this? I'm leading this group. I'm leading this department in my job, and I just don't know how to handle this. So to me, it's a kind of discipleship that might be broader than just simply teaching them spiritual disciplines, the word of God. Does that make sense?
It does. And I would say that I would add to that there's some overlap, but we have to recognize that, you know, secular organizations have mentorship
Absolutely.
Programs, but they don't have discipleship
No.
programs unless they're speaking of becoming a disciple of some kind of cult
Right.
follower or leader or whatever. But I think that is a part of the initial conversation you need to have before you enter into mentorship is this discipleship? Is
mm-hmm.
this primarily to get me grounded in the Word of God and establishing my Christian walk?
Yeah.
Or is this mentorship because I'm already feel and believe that I'm a mature believer, but I want to develop my spiritual gifts, my skills, my leadership
right.
qualities?
Right.
Or is it a combination, or mm-hmm. is it one or the other?
Right.
But up front, at some point early in the mentorship, you need to be talking about what are your objectives, what are your goals, what is your purpose, and how do you define the terms that are going to be being used? Because if not, what happens is a lack of clarity in this area and confusion in this area leads to unmet expectations.
Yeah.
And then that results in disillusionment.
Absolutely.
And you'll kind of throw the whole thing away when really it didn't need to be thrown away. It just needed to be adjusted or defined better.
Yeah, I think that's really explaining and in putting boundaries around the expectations is huge. Because if you don't, yeah, one person could be thinking, this is what, you know, I'm getting A, but you're getting B instead. And that's why I think it's really important that when it comes to this entire process, you've got to do it prayerfully. You know, that you are praying and seeking the Lord about, hey, this is, whether you want to be a mentor or that you're looking for a mentor, that you're praying and seeking God for those things. I think that's ultimately really important. But I think ultimately, I think every single person should have this sense of, this is important. This is really, I need this, or I need to do this. Because I think, and we're going to get into these in the following episodes about how to be a mentor or how to be a mentee. But, you know, we don't go anywhere unless we're committed to this idea of, hey, this is an important role for me to play. I need someone to speak into my life, or God's given me so much, I need to speak into other people's lives. I think both of those are really important that people come to grips with.
Yeah. And I don't know that defining it as mentorship is as important as some make it, but I don't think it should be ignored.
Yeah.
Because this is a specific relationship. And you said bathed in prayer. And I really want to double down on that, mm-hmm. Particularly in the area of discipleship and in the area of mentorship. I think making sure that God is in this relationship is very, very important. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a very intimate relationship. You are going to be sharing things, almost secrets at some level, about how you think, how you process, what
yes.
God's taught you, the yes. experiences you've had. There's an intimacy that comes that ought not be entered casually. I often say this. I personally think you should date the person that you're going to disciple or going mm-hmm. to disciple you or mentor
yes.
For a few times, just to make sure you have the fundamental chemistry
yes.
and the shared worldview before you even start. Or it'll be a colossal failure.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, because listen, just because you don't click doesn't mean that you're a bad mentee or you're a bad mentor. It just might be, this isn't a good fit for us.
Yeah, not every pretty girl's the one you're supposed to
exactly.
marry, right?
But, and I think also one of the things you said, which I think is so vital, is that if you are a follower of Jesus, I think it's imperative that you find one that is a follower of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because
how can two walk together unless they be
you're going to be so limited. If you are a mentor as a believer and your mentee is not a believer, you are so limited in giving the fullness of what you know and what you believe. Vice versa, right? If you're a mentee and your mentor is not a believer, you know, they might be able to help you in some ways, but the fullness of incorporating the entire biblical worldview into work, family, ministry, calling, all those things is going to be severely limited. And so,
And I would just caution those who would think, well, you know, I'm in the banking industry, or I'm in the, you know, I'm a musician or whatever. And so I want a specialist in those fields, but there's a compartmentalization that we tend to get into as believers that I think is dangerous in that, okay, this is my Christian Dan, this is my work Dan, this is my relational Dan, and I don't want my worlds colliding, if I can borrow a George Costanza quote. But we have to be careful about that kind of thinking, because it can lead to almost a spiritual dichotomy, which will eventually lead to hypocrisy and even duplicity if we're not careful. Because I know people who on Sunday are very, very fervent about serving the Lord musically and in worship and so forth. And on Saturday night, they'll be singing at a nightclub, singing songs that are totally antithetical to what they say they believe on Sunday. And they may have rationalized that in their mind, but I think in doing so, they've compromised biblically and maybe showing a spiritual deficit in the process.
Yeah.
And I know somebody hears that's going to just be offended all over, saying, well, you know, to be in the world and so forth. But I also remind you, you're in the world, but you're not of the world.
Yeah.
And there are some things that being in the world means I will not be of.
Yeah.
And so I think that's true in business and ethics. I mean, you know, I would never want Donald Trump to
oh, be
mentor
careful.
Me.
Dan, be careful, bro.
I'm touching the electric rail.
Don't you dare say anything about Donald Trump.
The Donald. Mega. No, but the problem is he has demonstrated time and time again that he is an ethical pragmatist.
Absolutely.
As long as I don't get caught, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot. And the business world is filled with that. That's how some of the most successful people became successful.
Yes.
Like, trotting on the bodies of those that they defeated. You've got to ask yourself, is that a way the Christian should be performing? So if you're a Christian business or a businessman and you're a Christian, then I would say find, and there are, in fact, I know a few, and some of them even get together for Bible studies to keep themselves accountable. And I'm not going to even say who, because that's their story
sure,
to tell.
Sure.
But I know they get on the phone on Monday mornings and they set up their agenda for the week and they share scripture together. And these are CEOs of major corporations that we know.
Yeah.
They're famous, but they're believers as well. And so there's a strengthening that comes with that kind of mentorship, but there's also an accountability spiritually that comes
yeah.
with that.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the benefit of something like this, you know, if you are further down the road and you're a believer and you've kind of walked through those battles as a Christian and knowing how to stand up for your faith, you know, what the next generation needs to see is a guy who has done his job incredibly well, mm-hmm. who's well respected in his profession, but has not one time compromised his faith. Those mm-hmm. kinds of things, those kinds of relationships are needed more than ever before. And that's why mentorship is so powerful, is because it doesn't just pass down, the beliefs and the values that are essential. It passes down this idea of hope that this is going to continue on, mm-hmm. that this isn't the final generation that's going to follow Jesus, and that there is a way in order to follow Jesus in Babylon, so to speak. And I think, you know, people that have swum in those waters have a story to tell, and they need to be able to share that with others. And the people that are swimming in those waters need to believe they're not alone. There's people that have gone before them, and they don't need to figure it out. And so, you know, the one final thing I would just want to add, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left, and I think this has been a good, introduction to our conversation. But I know some people out there will say, well, you know, my mentors are books. Mm. And I think that is don't get me wrong, I've learned from so many authors.
Yeah.
I've learned from so many books that have been really good. But there is something different and unique and deeper when someone is sitting across the table with you.
Absolutely.
And as much as you can learn from a book, what I would say is the person sitting across the table from you might not be as brilliant or has ever written a book, but I believe this, it will be an even greater impact on your life on having that. So don't just let the grand authors and masters mentor you from a distance, but you need the close mentors as well.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm so glad you brought it up. In fact, this morning I was mentoring somebody, and I brought that up because there's a value that causes people to say things like that ought to be addressed, and an older person often can address it with the younger person. It's binary thinking.
Yeah.
You know, binary thinking is you think
either
in
or.
Circles and, yeah. and ones
yeah.
or zeros and ones, either or. No, be a great reader. Leaders are readers. Mm-hmm. You'll be the same today in 10 years you are right now, except for the books you read and the people you meet. And so be a reader, but also meet the right people and meet them intentionally. Listen for their voice. Buy people lunch.
Mm.
Ask people questions. This is how we learn. God created us to be in community and relationally built. And so this is absolutely essential to it. But I also want to, you know, in the couple of minutes we do have left, just kind of circle back and say, many times we look at mentorship from I need to be mentored. But I would say this, we have a responsibility if the Lord has given us experiences, if the Lord has given us success, if the Lord has given us different things to, you know, that are on our resume, experiences both good and bad, mm-hmm. at some point we need to say, I have a responsibility to offer this to others.
Yeah.
I've made some incredibly horrific decisions in my life, and I've made a few good ones,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned a whole lot along the way. If I keep that to myself, if I'm too busy, or if I'm so cynical toward the next generation, and we have so much of that, you know, I get so tired of people talking about the millennials. First of all, they're usually talking about Generation Zs, and Zs are not millennials. And you say, yeah, well, they call us boomers. All right, so they call you a boomer. You were disrespectful when you were their age as
yeah,
well. Get
yeah,
over it.
Yeah.
But bridging that generation gap and engaging and having conversations, the thing I know this, and I love mentoring, I learn not as much, I hope, but I learn a great deal from my mentees.
Absolutely.
As they learn from me.
100%.
And it may just be how they think.
Yeah.
It also may mean that I've gotten kind of stale.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of things I learned in the process. So I would just simply say this as we go, you know, a little further into this in the next couple of episodes. I think everybody ought to be being mentored. Mm-hmm. And I'm actively looking for people to mentor me that kind of replace the people I had. But I also think that most of us, particularly we get past a certain age, which isn't as old as we might think, we have a responsibility to be a mentor to someone
else.
I would say even to the 20-something and 30-something-year-olds, you know, once you get to that point where you started solidifying your values and God has given you blessing, look for somebody who's going into college. Look for somebody who's a bit younger. I say this to my college-age students all the time. Remember this, the kids that are in high school still look at you like you're like you're demigods.
Absolutely.
And, and that for two things you need to be aware of that. Number one is that's a responsibility.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Yep.
And secondly, when you learn a lesson, share it.
Absolutely.
And to that extent, because they're younger, they have a little more credibility than some old guy like me. So, and it calls all of us to kind of be accountable for our actions and our decisions when we realize other people are watching us in the midst of it.
100%.
So we're off to a good start. And Ben, thanks always. You know, even when we have these conversations, I always feel like you're mentoring me and learning things as we go through. So I hope you'll join us again. Share this episode and the ones to come with those that you may feel will benefit from it. And until next time, thanks as always for listening to Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.